This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Well, here we are in our morning show here this morning, and we always begin on Wednesday mornings with the Holy Father and his Wednesday general audience. What did Pope Francis talk about this morning?
Well, John, the Pope spoke about his recent trip to Marseille, France. So that was the two-day visit where he just returned, his second visit actually to a French city, and his 44th apostolic journey. And so during the audience today in St. Peter's Square, he reflected on the meaning of that visit, on the importance of it. He was there for the conclusion of the Mediterranean meetings, as they're called. And this gathered together bishops, young people, lay, clergy, and they were reflecting on various issues related to the Mediterranean area. And in giving his remarks about what he found there, he said it was an experience filled with passion and enthusiasm. And of course, his quick two-day visit included various meetings with local politicians, as well as a holy mass that was celebrated in a stadium there. He spoke about the Mediterranean Sea today in the audience, saying that this should not be a place of a clash between civilizations, with war, with human trafficking. Instead, it actually needs to be seen as a means of communication between Africa, Asia, and Europe, between the north and the south, the east and the west, and between cultures, between peoples, between languages and religions. And he said the Mediterranean is the cradle of civilization. It's a cradle for life, and it should not be a place of conflict. He also noted that hope really needs to be restored to European societies, especially to the new generation, and saying that it's essential that Europe rediscover its passion and its enthusiasm. And I would say that as someone living here in Europe, as an Italian citizen myself, I would also personally add the word faith to that list, that Europe really must rediscover its faith. And Pope Francis today concluded the audience by praying, especially for the intercession of Our Lady, who is venerated in Marseille as Notre Dame de la Garde, so that she would especially accompany the journeys of the people on the Mediterranean Sea, so that the area would become what it's been called to be, which the Pope called a civilization of hope. Now, he also prayed at the end of the audience today, especially for the people of Benin in Africa. He was referring to the terrible, tragic fire that occurred on the 23rd of September there in that West African nation. At least 35 people have lost their lives, including one child. He sent a telegram on the behalf of the Vatican through the Secretary of State. And of course, it spoke about the reality that the Pope joined the victims' families in mourning, that he was praying for the repose of the souls of the deceased. He was entrusting them to God's mercy and also praying for recovery of the injured. And in addition to that, he also prayed through the intercession of Our Lady to bring strength and consolation to all those affected by this tragedy, for all those who are helping during this time of crisis, and especially for divine blessings on each person and the entire nation as a sign of comfort, John.
And Ashley, according to Vatican News, I read that the Holy Father also asked to remember your brothers and sisters of Ukraine forced to leave. So he continues to pray for that horrible war that continues on. It's been going on for such a long time in Ukraine with Russia.
And it's been very much on his mind. He's spoken about that situation quite frequently and continues to ask for prayers so that it's front of people's minds to pray for a peaceful solution in that area.
Now, you mentioned this was the 44th apostolic trip for Pope Francis just over the weekend to Marseille. The Holy Father has that sense of history. He knows that it had been 500 years since a pope had actually visited Marseille.
Oh, and so it's really incredible to think that despite his very busy schedule, despite the realities of his health, that these trips are continuing. And it, as the Vatican was very clear to say, they wanted to note that this was not meant to be a diplomatic trip to France, but specifically to the city of Marseille. So 500 years later, going to the city that the Vatican has deemed a city of many cultures.
Now, speaking about a previous trip, apostolic trip for the Holy Father, the one to Mongolia earlier this month, it's been revealed that Pope Francis made a quite interesting phone call on the plane. What do we know about that call?
Yes. So this is really interesting, John. So indeed, this happened with his last trip, that trip to Mongolia, right in early September. But it has the story has just been released. And that is because a video of a phone call that the Pope made has showed up on YouTube. So what happened was Pope Francis called a 95-year-old woman. Her name is Sosima Antony, and she is the grandmother of Monsignor George Kukavad, who's a Vatican official, and he has been working at the Vatican since 2021, organizing apostolic journeys there. So the Pope has expressed his concern about Mrs. Antony's well-being for a while because Monsignor George would often share her condition and her, you know, what she was going through with her health ever since back in July of 2022, she had COVID-19. So that said, the Pope was always asking about how Monsignor Antony's grandmother was doing. And finally, he decided then to reach out to her personally in a video call. So the call was conducted in both English and Malayalam with Monsignor George translating right there. And the Pope, during the call, affectionately referred to her as Mama. And spoke about his closeness to her, gave his best wishes to her for her health and for her recovery. She, at the end, also spoke about her thanks for this special call. He waved through the phone, he thanked her, and he also especially thanked her for the importance of her prayers, acknowledging the profound value of her faith, John.
What a beautiful a gesture by the Holy Father to reach out to this elderly mother. It just shows just the humanity and the heart that he has for people to reach out to Monsignor's mom.
Right. And you may recall, too, that he gave a whole catechesis to the elderly, specifically directed to the elderly. He also instituted Grandparents' Day near the Feast of Saints Anne and Joachim, the grandparents of Jesus Christ. And so he definitely has a heart, especially for the elderly. So, yes, as you said, a very lovely gesture of affection.
All right, Ashley, is the Holy Father a golf fan?
Well, he hasn't mentioned it to me, John, but right now in Italy, everybody's become a golf fan because, indeed, the Ryder Cup is going on right now.
This is a big deal, that competition between the U.S. and Europe.
Exactly. This is the golf world's biggest tournament, and it's being held right here at the Marco Simone Golf and Country Club. So, John, this is about 10 and a half miles from the center of Rome, and there's a 370-acre course, 27 holes, and they've been doing a lot of redevelopment work to get ready for this big event because this is the 44th edition of the Ryder Cup, but the very first time that it's being held in Italy. Now, the history of the Ryder Cup goes all the way back to 1927, and it's considered golf's greatest team showcase. In fact, around the world, it's the most followed international sporting event after the Olympics and then after the Soccer World Cup. And this is when 24 of the best players from throughout Europe, from throughout the U.S., they face off in match play competition. So that said, this is the only sporting event in which Europe actually competes as a team. Now, the U.S. over the years has claimed 27 wins. Europe only has 14. So let's see what happens here. But there's about 50,000 spectators that are expected every day. And these first days are dedicated to the practice sessions. And then tomorrow is going to be the opening ceremony. And the main action will then be the 29th through the 1st, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Italy is celebrating in all kinds of ways. In fact, they have issued a special coin. They have minted a special coin to commemorate the Ryder Cup being held here. Also, we're seeing changes in the reality of transportation here because the city is quite full. It's very congested. So, for example, the Metro B, we have a very short metro system in Rome. And that's because, of course, every time they try to dig, they uncover something new and wonderful buried deep under the ground. So the Metro B is going to be now running every 5 minutes to try to transport as many people as possible. Now, John, the general admission tickets for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are completely sold out. Although there is hope, if you still want to hop on a plane and get over here, there are still some tickets available for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So it's really quite an event and quite an honor for the city of Rome, John.
It sounds like it will be an SRO event, standing room only at the Marco Simone Golf Club and Country Club there near Roma. Just a little tidbit that I looked into. The U.S. did win the Ryder Cup in 2021, but they did it on American soil. They haven't won the Ryder Cup since 1993 on European soil.
Aha. So there's some hope for Italy. Well, I certainly have torn allegiances as an Italian and as an American, but I have to tell you, my blood runs red, white, and blue. So
there you go. Absolutely. All right. Meanwhile, we'll be celebrating the feast of St. Jerome, the great scripture scholar, coming up here in a couple of days on September 30th. How is that going to be celebrated in Roma?
Yes. Well, John, you know, not many people realize that St. Jerome was actually entombed right here in Rome. And in fact, his tomb can be found in the papal basilica, the major basilica of St. Mary Major. And it's very near to the relics of the crib of Christ. So those very relics of the crib where Jesus was placed in the manger, and not far away, people will go on the 30th to especially spend time in prayer at the tomb of this great saint.
And that would be like right next to the high altar there at St. Mary Major.
Yes. No, you're exactly right.
Know it well. You go down the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so St. Jerome is upstairs right next to those stairs there. And so people will come, they'll spend time. They will lay flowers there as well. And St. Jerome spent various times of his life in Rome. In fact, he did some of his education in Rome, coming here as a young boy of 12. And then later on, he became the Pope's secretary of Pope Damasus and came back to Rome. And it was during that time, of course, where he was asked to translate parts of the Bible into Latin, which formed the core of what we now call the Latin Vulgate. He did die in the Holy Land. He spent his last years there, but the body of St. Jerome was brought to Rome from Palestine and was put in the Basilica of St. Mary Major. Now, if we go down south a bit to the Calabria region, the city of Città Nuova, they are preparing for a very grand procession there. And they do it at night, bringing out a great big statue of St. Jerome that is carried high above the heads of everyone in the crowd. Imagine that the church is covered in lights. It's really quite something to see. And then after processing with the statue through the city, it finishes again at the church with a gigantic fireworks display overhead. So, of course, the people of Città Nuova want to celebrate their patron in a really big way. And that's just one of the celebrations that's going to go on throughout this throughout the country of Italy to celebrate this great feast day.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Saint Jerome, who famously once said, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. And that is immortalized in our catechism, a little reminder for all of us to read the Bible.
Indeed, indeed. He loved scripture so much, and we're so thankful that he used his gifts to help us to, of course, have scripture in a way that is accessible for all of us today. So he's really such a great saint.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.